Certainly thankful to be here. You know, a minister that can stop like that when the Lord blessed him shows forth a lot of discipline. And we'll be mindful of the time this afternoon. Let us, Brother Gary, I do have some things in common. We first met all five of the four brothers and Father Montgomery at Golden Gate Church at the same time during a four-day meeting. And since then, we haven't been able to keep them out of California. We're thankful for them and the effort that they make. Saw Brother David and Brother Mike recently, and Brother David said it's the same distance both ways, and me being the type of guy I like to prove things to make sure they're true, well, I just came out. Sister Linda has been a part of my wife's life since they were young women. My wife has known her longer than I have, and certainly thankful for her and her husband, Dennis. She has been trying to get me to come out here to this part of Texas for quite a while. Thankful this afternoon to be here. Brother David, in his introductory remarks, mentioned concerning, I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. You know, that's quite a misquoted scripture, isn't it? A lot of times people say, let us go up to. Well, we can come up to the door, and it won't do us any good. Well, we have to come in to the house.
Amen.
Also, the word in is a word of rest. Think about that. Therefore, there remaineth a rest for the children of God. And where is that rest? That rest is here under the sound of the gospel.
Yes, sir. Yes.
If you, the work of coming up to, and there's a work of going away from. In is in between, and it's a place of rest. This afternoon, I'd like to keep that in mind as we look at a thought that's on our minds, that we are in Him. We are in Christ Jesus. If any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. We're in a place of rest. Did we have anything to do with being put into that rest? No, we didn't. And I want to tell you this afternoon, the good news is there is nothing that can take us out of that rest. If we are in Christ Jesus, it was by His quickening word, you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. His quickening word put us in Him. And because being put in Him is a gift that we receive. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. As we consider eternal life and being in Christ Jesus, that eternal has no end. If we are recipients of eternal life, we will never die. And if we have that blessed assurance that we will never die, and that we are, if we are who we have a hope of being, are right now in possession of eternal life.
Amen.
We will never die. In the 15th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, it talks to us about the sting of death. What is that sting? It's an unknown. What we don't know, we worry about. We, as natural creatures, do not look forward to death. And because we do not look forward to death, it clouds our view of that precious truth, we will never die. In Hebrews, in the second chapter, it tells us in the ninth verse that Jesus tasted death for every man. As he fulfilled the law to a jot and a tittle, says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There had to have been a death to pay the sin debt. And that sin debt was paid by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And in order for that blood to be sacrificial blood, that sacrifice had to die. And he died in our room instead. He took upon himself that was ours, the wage of death, by sin. And if any one of us ever would be able to, and we're not, because we're Adam multiplied, not sin, we still came into this world as sinners, because by Adam, we all together became unprofitable.
Right.
We were sinners. We are sinners. Amen. We sin by omission. We sin by commission. And sometimes, if we're truthful with ourselves and shamefaced about it, we sin willingly. The Lord Himself taught us a very precious lesson about death and the power that He has in overcoming that, not only in the eternity to come, if I can put it that way, but now. Because if we are, again, in receipt of eternal life, we will never die. Amen. But in the 11th chapter of the book of John, very familiar place, it's about Lazarus and the Lord resurrecting Lazarus from the dead here in time. And how those around Lazarus at that time viewed what the Lord told him. And what I trust we'll see this afternoon is how they limited the power of the Lord. As the Lord told them plainly these things, they limited, they just were not able to see His power in action right there. They knew and they could see that was to come. Is that pretty much a lot of our cases right now? We, as Primitive Baptists, truly believe that we have a hope this afternoon that some morning God is going to tell Jesus, go get your bride and bring her home. That sun, the S-O-N, will rise. He will come, blessed to my Father. There's going to be a voice. There's going to be the shout of the archangel. He's going to separate His sheep from the goats. And we're all going to be carried to heaven to be with Him when time is no more. We love that doctrine.
Amen.
It is manna for our souls.
Amen.
And we can't wait to get there.
Amen. Amen.
That inner man cries, Abba Father.
That's right.
Daddy, Daddy. Even so, Lord, come quickly.
Amen.
As we read from the 11th chapter of John. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and his sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if the man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. See, there is a... Jesus used the word sleep here. He talks about sleep, the Apostle Paul in the Thessalonian letter, talking about the return of the Lord. There are those that are asleep in Christ. We have those that profess different beliefs, saying that this is how the body goes to the grave. It goes to the grave whole. You know, the Lord, it says in one place, the Lord keep us holy. Not H-O-L-Y, but W-H-O-L-L-Y. Holy body, soul, and spirit. And they'll tell you that they go to the grave holy. And they'll use this verse as one of the places to show that. Unfortunately, they take scripture out of the Bible to prove a point. And the problem with that is they take it out of context and they leave what it really means in the Bible. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he do well. I love to sleep. Last night, Sister Linda put me in a nice place, and 15 minutes after I got in that room, I was asleep, and my alarm clock woke me up a couple minutes later. I like to sleep. I do well. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. So that sleep that he talks about in verse 11 and this death are the same thing. It's talking about the condition of Lazarus. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. You know, belief is a voluntary activity on our part. We choose to believe. We've heard it preached here that you have to have life to believe. And that's because you need faith.
Right.
And faith is a fruit of the Spirit.
Amen.
A child of God, born of the Spirit, has faith.
Right.
Now, what we do with that faith, the apostles in one place complained to the Lord, said, Lord, give us more faith. You know, every heir of promise is given the measure of faith. It's what we do with it. Peter tells us in Second Peter, we need to add some things to our faith. That first one, virtue, that talks about a voluntary activity of belief on our part. We need to believe, and it's a choice that we make whether we are going to or not. So he's talking to them that he's going to show them, give them some evidence, put some evidence before their eyes, because that's what we need mixed with our faith in order that we would believe. We need evidence. If we didn't need so much evidence, I would not have flown however many miles to come to this meeting, because I was sure that as we got here, I'd meet the Lord and I would be given some more evidence about what I believe. Amen. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, and this is the same Thomas that said, I wouldn't believe unless, you know, I put my fingers in his side. But he said unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Still, you know, they're still learning. Let's not be too hard on Peter and the rest of the disciples. They're learning these things as they go along. We learn things, as it says over there in the Old Testament, here a little, there a little, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Well, they didn't have the precepts and the line upon line. They were learning on-the-job training as they go. Put it that way. What these say is on-the-job training. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Right. I love that verse.
Yeah.
You know, no one ever died in the presence of the Lord.
That's right, brother.
No one will ever die in the presence of the Lord, because he is life. He is the light in men. And as long as the light is on, there's life there. There's somebody home. You go up to the house and house lights are all off. What do you expect? Nobody's in the house. Heard about the tabernacles we dwell in. If these tabernacles have light, there's somebody home. And that light that is home in there is that inner man. But now we see here, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Thy brother shall rise again. You know, Martha showed a lot of faith. You know, down the road here a little bit, he's crucified. And who is it that believes and goes to the tomb to see? It was the women. They had to go back and get the disciples and say, come.
Yeah.
A little more on-the-job training. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. She believed that. She said so. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. You know, if you'd been here, he had not died. Jesus says he's going to rise again. And she limited that in her mind to the last day. See? Limited the power of Jesus. Yeah? I know you'll raise him at the last day. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. If you die, if your body is separated, you continue to live. And you know what? Guess what the next verse says? He clarifies it and makes it even more plain to us. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Shall never die. If we consider what's under consideration here, there's belief. Our belief, if we, it doesn't really matter what we believe. We shall never die. Jesus said so. But there is a death and a hell that we have that we place ourselves in unbelief. If we don't believe that we shall never die, we are going to be as those that sorrow that have no hope. And look at those that sorrow that have no hope. That sorrow is the light is now out. Let's put it in the ground. It's all over. It's all over. What comfort is there in God's word if Jesus is not risen? We are not risen. And if we are in Christ Jesus, we will never die, because if we could die and we're in Christ Jesus, guess what? Part of Christ Jesus can die. And Christ Jesus lives. And because He lives, we live. And because He will never die, we will never die. We are in a place of rest. We are in Christ Jesus. There is a finished work. Over in the book of Isaiah, it tells us to sit down. What? Sit down in the finished work of Christ, in that rest, and then stand up. Stand up. There is an activity in our life, and belief is a work. 25, 30 years ago, it's going fast, when I came among the Primitive Baptists, there seemed to be an unwillingness to use the word work, because we don't want to sound like the other guys. Brethren, if we are not at work in our faith, we will never believe these truths that will keep us from having to have that separation that we think is coming, that sting of death is going to put us in a place away from God. There is not going to be even a moment that we are going to be separated from God. At the instant that these bodies cease to have a natural life in them, we are going to be at home with the Lord. There is not going to be a time of death or separation. That's because Jesus tasted that death for us on the cross. I don't know what happened in that 3 hours of darkness, but there was a transaction between the Son and the Father that satisfied the Father, because the lights came back on, and that third and appointed day He raised His Son from the dead to give us blessed assurance that that sacrifice was acceptable. And because the first fruit was acceptable, the whole crop is acceptable. And if you're in Christ Jesus, brethren, you're safe in His in Him.
Amen.
And there's nothing stupid enough that we could do to be taken out. There are things that we can do that are stupid enough to remove us from His fellowship while we live here in the world.
Right.
And whosoever liveth and believeth in Me shall never die. Listen to this. Believest thou this? Do you believe that? If you believe that this afternoon, share it. If you believe that this afternoon, why is it that we fear that moment of death? We are fearing something that will never happen. I appreciated what the brother said this afternoon concerning that. Yes, We sorrow not as others that have no hope, that don't believe this precious truth that we'll never die. Because those that have no hope think that death is the end all. But brethren, in one aspect, it's just the beginning. It's just the beginning. It's the beginning of our sorrows being left behind. It's the beginning of our sufferings here in this time world. Left behind. And at that moment, we're with the Lord. We're not going to be able to take our eyes off of Him. He's our husband. And if we believe that we'll never die, what else is it that we believe? That He did all for us. He is our husband. He has treated us. He has loved us with an everlasting love. He drew us to Him while we were yet sinners. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's something you need to believe, that you're part of that us. The Apostle Paul used that term, that pronoun us, a lot, which included him. And brethren, the Apostle Paul freely admitted his condition, that he was a sinner. So we're in good company. Because Paul was an apostle called of God to his work, preaching the gospel. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. Down to the 34th verse, it says, And he said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. It says, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. I have some thoughts on that, and I don't want to go into it, but Jesus was a compassionate.
Yes, he was.
He was compassionate. He had compassion on the masses. He had compassion on those that just were not getting the truth. And it caused him to have an outward show of emotion. He wept. Then it says in the 39th verse, Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. My wife explained this all to me. She's in the medical field. Suffice to say, after 3 days, about 72 to 76 hours, the body starts to break down. It starts to lose, the molecular structure starts to break down and the body decays. For about the first 72 hours, it takes to get to that point. So after 4 days, he stinketh.
Right.
You know, Scripture also shows this. Lord was in the tomb 3 days, and it said concerning him he did not see corruption. There it is right there, 3 days. But this was the fourth day. He stinketh. And Jesus said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Do we want to see the glory of God? We see it through an eye of faith when we do what? Believe. Believe on Him. And they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard me, and I knew that Thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, and that they may believe that Thou hast sent me. See, Jesus could have done everything He did and not shown us or revealed it to us. But these things are revealed to us for a purpose. And that purpose is that we would believe on Him, the Son of God. And that all glory and all honor is justly due Him, because He is our righteousness. Yeah, what a transaction. He took our dirty rags and threw them away and gave us some clean ones to wear. And I knew that thou hearest me always. And when he said, spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Think about these people that are around him right now. Yeah, he's going to rise at the end of the world. Lazarus, come forth right before their eyes. Here he comes. He was bound. He said, loose him and let him go. I'm going to close with this thought. Wouldn't you like to have had a conversation with Lazarus? Think about that. Lazarus was seen at dinner. He was alive. He was also, those that were trying to accuse Jesus said, we better get rid of him because of his testimony.
Yes.
What a testimony.
Yeah.
That this man said, Lazarus, come forth, that had been dead 4 days. Now, where was Lazarus during those 4 days? I believe Lazarus was home in heaven, because that's what it says happens. His soul was not sleeping in his body.
Right.
There was a man, Paul said, taken to the third heaven. He said he saw things that were not lawful to utter. I just want to say this about heaven. We do not have words to describe it.
Amen.
And it's just like when we are blessed here in his service to taste that little bit of heaven. You can't describe it when people ask you what it was that caused you to rejoice as it did.